Not a day goes by when working people don't touch high technology in one form or another. Wolf Tombe is the Chief Technology Officer for U.S. Customs and Border Protection. He was one of the two keynote speakers at the government conference at this year's Consumer Electronics Show. He also spent a lot of time on the show floor. He explained exactly what a federal CTO does and how the position differs from that of a Chief Information Officer.
One of the important roles of the CTO, especially in the federal agencies, are that we actually look at the future of where technology is. So we're monitoring next-generation technologies that we see appearing that are in the 3 to 5 year range out. And what we're doing is we're looking at those technologies and constantly asking ourselves, okay, does that have potential mission impact for our users in CBP, in my case? And if it does, what might those impacts be? What would the benefits of that be? And is this a technology that we should actually look at bringing into the organization, maybe doing some beta work with or whatever, showing it to our users and finding out, do you agree that this is something we should probably look at bringing into our portfolio, say, 2 years from now?
In your case, especially with Customs and Border Protection, which does a lot of things operationally, are you only looking at information technology or maybe also surveillance and weapon systems, that type of things that might be useful?
All types of technology. So we do look obviously a lot at information technology because information is really important to law enforcement. But we also look at adaptive technology. And I'll give you an example. One of the technologies we're actually looking at from CES, there's great emphasis today and at CES on wearable tech. And a lot of that wearable technology is in order to provide an individual with some regular feedback about their health, usually focused around physical exercise and activity. I look at those technologies and talked with a number of the vendors, and I said, well, that's a great technology. So you're monitoring. You got a nice, comfortable wrist device. It's unobtrusive. It's easy to put on. It basically serves as a wristwatch. And yet you're monitoring my heart rate. You're monitoring whether I'm sweating or not. You're monitoring my stress levels. I said, that's great. And I could see where if I'm doing jogging or I'm weightlifting, that's really something I want to use. Have you thought about the law enforcement aspect of this? And usually the vendor will be like, well, no, what do you mean? And it's like, well, you're monitoring my heart rate and my stress level, and you're providing that via Bluetooth to my smartphone. And you go, yeah, that's what we're doing. Well, couldn't I create an app that basically says if my heart rate goes from a normal of 60 beats a minute to over 100, I want that app to do two things. One, get my GPS coordinates off the phone, and two, immediately send a text message to our 911 dispatch center saying this officer is in some type of stress. Start responding back up to help me. Here's my coordinates, and try reaching out to me via radio. If you get a hold of me, you know, hey, maybe I'll say, wow, you know, funny you're calling. Yeah, I almost hit a deer, ran right out in front of me. Man, I slammed on the brakes. Luckily, I missed him. Everything's okay, but yeah, my heart's beating a little bit high. No harm, no foul. On the other hand, maybe the officer doesn't respond to the dispatch query because he stopped his car to offer assistance to somebody and got into a fight. And so he's rolling on the ground fighting for his life, and our dispatchers can know that based on the sensor he's wearing on his wrist.
All right, so that was something you saw that was mainly aimed at consumers.
Correct.
And, you know, they have the rubber band ones, and they have the steel band ones, and all these fancy watches.
Literally dozens of vendors providing these kind of capabilities on the forefront.
All right, and anything else like that? That was a really good example.
Oh, yeah, there are a number of things. Another one is an iris authentication system that works for logging you into your workstations. It does dual video on both eyes, so the effectiveness of it from a false positive perspective is 1 in 1.4 trillion. So that's pretty impressive. I think the only thing better is DNA, but I don't know about you, but I'm not going to prick my finger every time I want to log into my workstation.
That would be asking a lot of employees, I think.
Yes, that would. Yeah. Ouch. Ooh, okay. So all kidding aside, it's a very interesting technology. It provides us the capability to look at 3-factor authentication to get into our law enforcement systems with virtually no effort from the user. The user just looks at the camera. 2 seconds later, they're logged in, they're absolutely authenticated, and away we go. But what's really interesting, now while it's great for workstations, they're looking at taking this to cell phones. So think about what my officers have to do today. If they get into some kind of a stressful situation, they need to log into their phone to try to get to the app to hit that button that says, I need to make a, you know, I need help. often they have to log in twice, once into the phone and then once into the secure container where that app exists on that phone. Well, with this kind of a technology, they just look at the phone. 2 seconds later, they're logged into everything they need, and they can push that 911 app right away. They also took that same technology, because I love this, and they put it into a car. So they said, just look at this. You get in the car, it identifies that you're an authenticated user, the car will start for you. And they said, we thought this might have law enforcement capability. What do you think? I said, I could definitely see this. We have Border Patrol agents who get out in the field. They get into a foot pursuit with somebody. They're on foot chasing people down. What they don't realize is there's a whole huddle of people hiding in the bushes nearby. They jump in the patrol car and want to take off on it. I said, so your technology, what you're telling me is that officer jumps out of the car, that your technology is going to say the person's not in the car anymore, turn it off. He said, yep. And he said, this other person jumps in, they're going to say not authenticated, it won't start. And I said, that's pretty cool. I said, could you do a couple more things, though? Could you auto-lock the doors and turn on the lights and siren? And because I said it'd be really interesting for the agents to hear their own squad car basically telling them that we've got a trapped suspect inside that car.
Well, that sure gives new power to the idea of selfies, doesn't it?
Exactly. Poor person that got in the car probably has no idea he's doing that, but too late.
All right. We're speaking with Wolf Tombe. He is the Chief Technology Officer of U.S. Customs and Border Protection. And so getting back to the role of the CTO, it sounds like you certainly have more fun than the CIOs because you get to see and play with all this new technology. Where does this all report up to into the organization? Suppose you see something that, hey, yeah, we can use this next year. What happens next?
Well, I think that a lot of that depends on which agency or for industry, what industry you're in. In my organization, I report up to our CIO, but I've also created a leadership IT partnership council where I have monthly meetings with the leaders from all of our mission offices, and we talk about these technology trends, and we bring ideas forward to that group and say, hey, you're the mission. Do you think this would be beneficial or not? Is there a mission value to this? If there is, we'll continue to monitor it. We'll bring it in for pilots. If you tell me no, we'll just stop looking at it. There's no value in me wasting anyone's time on it. So right now, I think most of us report to our CIOs, but we definitely have a liaison perspective across the executive leadership of our agencies.
And do you have days when vendors can come in and show you stuff?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I meet with vendors on a regular basis. My calendar is usually booked up about 2 months in advance. But I'm really good if a vendor, now we do send out a vendor intake form to say, how do you think your product can help enhance CBP's mission? Because we don't want them to waste their time and come in if they're going to tell us that they're a marketing company and you know how great we can get more contacts for sales. It's like, well, that's not our role. So we don't do that. So, you know, it's to help them, but it also makes them think a little bit about our mission and how their technology might be effective. The other thing I do, though, is I do a lot of public speaking because my personal opinion is, and I think a lot of CTOs do this, if we don't get out in front of industry and other agencies and just our stakeholders in general to the broadest capability possible and tell them what our missions are, what our pain points are, where we need help, how on the heck do we expect them to come forward with solutions? I mean, they can't read our minds, so we have to get out there and communicate.
And you were at the Consumer Electronics Show, as you indicated. What was it like? What did you get done there overall?
Well, for me as a technologist, it was absolutely amazing, of course. It was getting to see well over 4,000 vendors who were all showing their newest and most innovative technologies. So I made a point. I spent 3 days walking all three convention centers, seeing every single vendor that was there. I probably personally talked to well over 200, 250 about potential law enforcement applications of their technology. And out of that, I'm going to be reaching out to probably 50 to 60 that have strong capabilities that we'll be working with over the year to bring their technologies in and see how they might benefit CBP.